Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. And now, live on the Amusement Park Radio, Iceman Insights, starring Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster, the corraler of fantastic personalities in and around the Evansville area. It's a rodeo here on the amusement park. Michael Shockley and John Peterson. Mike, John, how are you guys doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
I'm always happy when we have a guest in here because it means there's less of Derek.
Yes, indeed, which usually means there's less chance of me screwing something up and or dropping an F-bomb.
Exactly. So, John Peterson in the studio with us again. We liked it so much the first time, we decided to have him back.
Well, he did renege on his commitment last week because of, like,
travel.
Oh, I have to be in St. Louis at 1 o'clock, blah, blah, blah.
BS.
So, obviously, commitment issues for Peterson.
I could have called in. Is that possible?
Yes, it is.
Oh, maybe I should have done that.
That's more work for me to do.
I was a little groggy. It was a 14-hour travel day.
In theory, it's possible.
No,
but
it is.
Whenever you up the technical requirements, you're just asking for trouble with Derek.
Disagree. Do it every week for Castle Football. Every
that's
week.
True, yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
So, anyway.
How's your phone-in radio show doing? Oh, yeah. Non-existent.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, quick week in review. Last week, the Icemen lost 3-0 to Missouri on Wednesday, the aforementioned jet lag game. We'll just move on. Friday night, the Comets came to town and a wild game, a 7-5 loss in that one. Probably the biggest story from that game, other than the fact that we actually scored 5 goals and fans got free car washes, was the injury to Cody Reichard, which was quite scary. He was motionless on the ice for a lengthy period of time, and then the skirmish that resulted, they all fell on top of him. The entire crowd gasped. That was unusual. Did you hear any? Were there any interesting stories from the players after that?
Yeah, no, not a lot of interesting stories from the players. But on Iceman Live, Coach Sims was giving Michael Trebisch a hard time. He was our guest on the show, and he's a great guy, and he's just pretty. He's pretty quiet. You don't see him smile a whole lot, but he's actually got a pretty good personality. He's a funny guy. So we had Trebisch waiting in the wings to come on the show. Coach Sims was on there, and we were talking about the hit when Reichert got hit. Trebisch was in the mix-up afterwards with Dunn and a couple other guys trying to pummel the player who ran into Reichert, and Coach Sims was like, "Yeah, Trebisch, I think it was you and your guy who ended up falling back on Reichert after the mix-up, so I'm going to blame you for the injury."
Yep. We'll take the disability out of your check.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I think we talked about it, and I was so frustrated on the air because, you know, as a former, and I only played goalie for a few years in youth, but just as a fan of the sport, you see a goalie get hurt like that, and he wasn't moving, and it was scary. And then you want to stick up for him, but on the call live as it happened, you know, I had maybe a better view of the situation than some of the players did on the ice because it's happening so fast around them that I called it as it was, and their guy got bumped into Riker. Yes. It wasn't that he ran him.
Yeah, it wasn't their player's fault.
So my frustration took over that everybody's jumping this guy, and then, which is fine because you want to protect your goalie, but then everybody falls back on him. And I'm like, great, he's already probably hurt pretty bad, and then everybody falls on top of him. So it's kind of an in-the-moment thing, just an unfortunate collision overall. Yeah. It's just our luck this year, I guess.
Yeah.
It's, well, seems to be the story.
To be fair, that's been the Iceman's luck pretty much since day one. This is the first season you've had to deal with.
Yeah, I only have a small sample size to go off of, but yeah. Now I know.
Is that the scariest injury you can recall seeing in a game in person?
Yeah, I think anytime you have a collision with a goaltender, we saw it, you know, back in the 80s with the Buffalo Sabres goalie, Clint Malarchuk.
Yes.
That's the scariest I've ever seen on video or anything like that. Yeah, I would say Cody getting hit there was probably one of the scariest I've seen in person. I had one in Austin last year where a kid got checked from behind and wasn't moving for 10 or 15 minutes and was wheeled off on a stretcher. The ambulance came screaming in, and then we were all concerned with broken neck and a broken spine, something like that. And he came back with a neck brace on, and he just had a sore neck, which was good, but it was pretty scary at the time.
Yeah, it's always scary when somebody's not moving. You know, you can tell if a player hurts a knee or an ankle or something. And we saw that one of the Quad City players looked like he had a pretty bad foot injury of some sort on Sunday. But those things heal. When you're talking about possible neck and head injuries, that's really scary stuff because those are life-altering.
Yeah, and Cody's a guy who's had injury problems in the past, and he came into this season healthy, but the part of the reason he went unsigned is late in the year in Stockton, he was just fighting through a really bad shoulder injury he had to get surgery on in the offseason. Well, you know, teams find out about that and maybe don't want to take that risk, and he's good and healthy, and his shoulder doesn't bug him at all. And so we kind of lucked out that he was a free agent, came in and played well the first few games for us. And to see him take a hit like that, first thought in my head was shoulder or concussion or, you know, neck if he's not moving or something like that. So there was obvious concern. Luckily or unluckily, however you view it, it's, you know, concussion related. And so that's, you know, they're calling it upper body, but everybody knows that he's a little groggy getting back up. So hopefully he can come back sooner rather than later.
Agreed. He called it a concussion. It's a conky.
Conky.
That's the term we use here on the amusement park.
Yeah. That goes back a few years when Aaron Jens, currently with the Allen Americans, played for the Iceman. I think he was on Iceman Live one night, and he called it a conky. And ever since then, it's stuck. The Iceman fan base just calls it conky.
And that's the hockey vernacular that, you know, I'm familiar with, but I'm still kind of a by-the-book, boring old dictionary guy that they calls it concussion. So
he's seeing
the
little
ECHL
birdies.
Is going to frown on the term conky.
Yeah. So fast forward to Sunday, the Icemen lose 6-5 in overtime to the Quad City Mallards, renewing that rivalry. The Comets rivalry is well documented, but it's going to be fun to see the rivalry with the Mallards build again. And that was the kind of game. It got a little chippy here and there, and there was some back and forth and some fights. And as you said on Icemen Live, a half fight with Trebisch gets in a fight, and somehow they just end up with matching double minors for roughing. But yeah, the Iceman led 5-2 in that game, but didn't end well. Ended up losing 6-5 in overtime. That was the first time we've seen 3-on-3 overtime at home this year. I know Derek is not a fan of the 3-on-3. What are your thoughts about it, Mr. Peterson?
Well, I'm not a fan of the shootout, so anything to get us away from the shootout I'm on board with. So I see where Derek's coming from completely. I like the excitement. I think as a broadcaster, it's tiring.
It's tiring as a fan.
Yeah, although I will say that was one of the slowest 3-on-3s I've ever seen on Sunday with those two teams. For whatever reason, they were just taking their time and
they were being
trying to make
deliberate.
Right, where in Wheeling, it was just fire wagon back and forth, breakaway, 2-on-1, 2-on-1. So that's the kind of 3-on-3 I enjoy watching. Again, whatever gets us away from the shootout, but that was a very, very heartbreaking loss. And although being a media broadcast guy, you have to be neutral to some extent. You have to try to be unbiased. But the reality is I'm paid by the team. I work for the team. And a fan of the team. And the way things have been going, you know, that was just really tough to swallow. So I sat up there in the press box, slowly writing my presser, pretty much head in hands for a while, just trying to grasp what just happened, because it looked for a second there we were going to run away with that game.
Yeah.
My problem with the 3-on-3 is the fact, I think you're starting to see it. It happened last night, Colorado, Minnesota as well. Teams are not going to take the risk of possibly losing that extra point. and you're going to see it slow down more and more and more. You're already seeing, like, the defensemen are always forcing the wingers to their backhand side, and no one's going to shoot a backhand shot 3-on-3 because they're going to miss the net, and it's going to lead to a 2-on-1 the other way.
Right.
So they just start going to the corner and circling, and it's going to slow down, and we're going to be right back to where we were.
There's a lot of regrouping. If you don't see a golden opportunity, you go back to the neutral zone, regroup, and then try to go back in again. And you do, I think, over time in the NHL already, we've seen it. A lot less of the fire wagon hockey and a lot more of the very deliberate, controlled, we're not going to take the risk. We're going to try everything we can do to get a chance without risking a turnover.
Right. I think when the year's over, when we look at the stats, you know how they do the stats, how many games, what percentage goes to a shootout, what percentage ends in overtime. And when we see that and compare it with last year's shootout, then I'll probably have a better decision on my end. I'm, you know, being a stats guy.
Yep.
But I want excitement too, and the fans want excitement. And if it's a slow 3-on-3, then it's almost like you're watching a glorified practice.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm against completely the 3-point regulation win system.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually, if they want excitement, they're going to have to go to 2 points for a win, no points for even an overtime loss. And that's when people are going to be committed to, we have to win or we're going to play 65 minutes of hockey and a shootout and leave with nothing. And that's when you'll see it all come out.
I'm not opposed to, I mean, granted, the fans would never enjoy it and the leagues would never go back to it, but I'm not opposed to bringing back the tie just because.
Yep, I'm that way too.
Get rid of the shootout. If a team wins in overtime, then it's 2 points. They lose in overtime, it's 0. You know, if we do the 3-on-3, great. But then if nobody scores on the 3-on-3 after 5 minutes, it's a tie and you get 1 point each. So I think that would motivate teams that are in desperate need of 2 points to maybe take that risk and try to play. Who knows? I guess it's all kind of speculation, but
I agree. I don't think we're ever going to see ties again. I just think as much as, you don't like the loser point, there's just too many people are against not having a winner. And with that mentality among the fan base, especially a lot of casual fans, it's just not going to go back to that anymore.
Yeah, and the tough thing, I guess, and I guess it's the way it is, but there are teams that go in and lose 5 or 6 or 7 overtime games already in the ECHL, and the Icemen have been in games all year. They haven't really been blown out aside from maybe that Alaska 6-2 game or the Missouri, you know, game they weren't really, after they got behind, weren't really in it. Not getting to overtime is going to potentially end up hurting the Icemen, losing in regulation as many times as they have, but they've been in all of those games.
Yeah.
Teams that sneak into overtime and get that free point and then end up losing anyways, they're going to end up being 7 or 8 points up the standings.
Yep. So something else we saw interesting on Sunday against Quad City, the Icemen, their 5th and final goal, which at the time looked like just sort of a nice insurance goal, was a 2-on-0 shorthanded goal, Levier to Fawcett. Have you ever seen a 2-on-0 shorthanded before?
Maybe once. I don't know that I've seen it any time in a game I've broadcasted. We'll put it that way. I don't think I've been on the mic for a 2-on-0 shorthanded before. I kind of preface it with this, though, that their defenseman tripped over the linesman or the referee, I think, right by the benches.
Yeah,
just tumbled over backwards, and the Mallards, of course, were furious, and they're yelling, and that sprung Fawcett on the right wing and set up the give and go. And you know, again, puck luck sometimes comes into play for you, and obviously against you, and sometimes on the air, you know, like when the goal was waved off on McDonald knocking it out of midair, you know, I started feeling a little woe is us type mentality because it happened in Alaska and the way things have been going. I'm like, oh, here we go again. They waved off another goal. No review, no video replay, you know, nothing we can do about it. They come down and score. But puck luck goes for you too. And I think that shorthanded goal, I don't think ever would have happened had that guy not run into the linesman.
Yeah. So give an assist to the Zebras. So before this weekend, we have to go back to the Alaska trip. Derek and I both would like to visit Alaska. We've yet to figure out a way to get our employer to send us there, so we have to live vicariously through you. You talked a little bit about the trip on Iceman Live, the travel and the jet lag. So any fun stories you haven't told yet as far as the trip out there? Who'd you sit with on the plane? How did the flights go, et cetera, et cetera?
Sean Berberick, our trainer, and I, we pretty much are buddies on the road. We room together. if you don't know Sean yet, get to know him. He's hilarious. He's a very dry, quiet sense of humor. He never talks. He's a man of few words, but when he does talk, it's something funny. And we really like having him in as the trainer. But he and I were sitting next to each other on the airplane, and on the way out there, we're watching Slapshot to get fired up for the trip.
Well, of course.
We're sitting on the two aisle seats with the aisle in between us, and I only have one headphone jack on my laptop. And so I have one headphone stretch across the aisle to Sean, and I'm wearing the other one. And the flight attendants, for some reason, I don't know if they had the hots for some of the guys or what, but they were walking up and down the aisle like 700 times. And so we had to keep ripping out the headphones. This is a five-hour flight, and we're like, this isn't going to work. So Sean gave up. And on the way back, Sean traded his aisle seat with Alex Kermitis, I think, our equipment manager, so that he could sit next to me in the middle seat and watch Hunger Games Mockingjay. So we tried it again, and this time it worked out.
Well, isn't that lovely?
How about that?
But a funnier story with Sean is the last day, we had Monday off, and we had our flight left at 10 p.m. Our last game in Alaska was Sunday at 3 p.m., so we had this huge amount of time just to do nothing and mess around and visit Alaska. We decided to go out and try to go back to the rink and play, you know, just stick and puck on the outdoor rink. But I was starving and, quite frankly, had a late night the night before after our game. Sunday, we were out at the establishments, the watering holes.
Yes.
And so I was hurting a little bit. And so I said, Sean, I need, you know, some greasy food. Let's go to whatever the fast food joint is in Anchorage, and then we'll go play stick and puck because I'm going to need that food. And there's no way to get there unless you take a cab. So we cab it to a Wendy's. The line was out the door. The drive-through line was like 14 cars long. And I'm sitting in this parking lot, and I go, driver, do you mind if I pay the first fare, go get my food, come back and pay the second fare to the rink so we can play, you know? And he goes, no, no, no. If I'm waiting for you, you're paying the whole fare. And so I go in there, and I'm in this Wendy's for 20 minutes waiting for my just to get up in the line to get my food, get back into the cab, and the fare's like $23 just from like hotel to Wendy's and sitting there. Ended up being like a $30 fare to get us to the rink.
Yeah.
But was the Wendy's good?
Oh, it's phenomenal. It saved my life.
So at least it was worth it.
Hey, we took a 7-hour bus trip to a Wendy's as a team one time.
Yeah,
so
that's true. The canceled game in Cincinnati.
Yep.
They got all the way over, what was it, like an hour outside of Cincinnati, and then they canceled
the
game.
The ECHL called and said, oh,
too late.
Weather's bad. Turn around.
So that's 7 hours ago, so but it was at Wendy's.
Went to Wendy's halfway between Louisville and Cincinnati and then drove back to Evansville.
Yes, indeed.
It's a heck of a trip. So one of the cool things I thought from the Alaska trip was all the Instagram pictures with the blizzard bobblehead. Was that you or Sean or both?
That was our community relations director, Jessica Wells. Huh. She was in charge.
Who
of,
is fantastic.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she and her parents went up there for like a vacation that they had planned out once the schedule came out in the summer. You know, they always wanted to go to Alaska. And they said, well, why not go when the Icemen are there? You know, obviously the front office, you know, we're up there for the weekend. She can afford to take 1 or 2 days vacation and go up there with her family. And so we were promoting that bobblehead doll because that was coming up on the Fort Wayne game this past week. So she wanted to take an Instagram picture of everywhere she went and had the bobblehead.
Yeah.
So I had a little cameo there. You know, I photobombed Cold Stone Blizzard's bobblehead one instance up in the press box, and she took it to all these great views in the mountains and down by
beautiful
the river,
pictures. I thought my favorite one, though, was where she got the pilot of the plane to hold it.
That was cool. I didn't know she did that. She was on a different flight than the rest of the team. So her and her family came the day after we arrived. I think they flew out on Thanksgiving, or maybe it was even Friday. Somehow she got the pilot to do that, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. So anything else interesting from the Alaska trip, or shall we move on?
Nothing else that I can probably mention.
Well, the one thing that does have to do with the trip is your television work for Eyewitness News. I watched the reports on TV and thought they turned out really well. And let's just say you did slightly better in your television debut than one Derek Benigni did. You didn't have to say, this is a puck.
Well, see, I didn't listen to you guys the first time I came on the show. And you said, do not go on television or something along those lines. And sure enough, the next thing I know, I'm taking a camera with me to Alaska. Good thing I have a day job. Because I don't think that's in my future anytime soon. But
it sucks, doesn't it?
It was better than it turned out better than I thought it was going to. But yeah, it does suck.
Was it your own equipment, or did they actually provide the equipment for you?
I use Travis Tornatore, our digital media director. I use his camera. He uses in the press box. Mm. He's my color commentator, obviously, but he uses a camera in the press box for the new Lion feed, the scoreboard to get the clock in the corner on there. So I just brought that with me, and you know, I had Sean film my stand-ups, and of course the players went nuts, and they were doing like water bottle squirting all over, you know, in the background.
I saw the one guy like licked his stick.
That was Humphreys,
was it?
That was. I'll call him out. I'm not afraid.
Wow.
Actually, I am afraid. Don't get in a fight with Spencer Humphreys.
Did you know he was doing?
Yeah, yeah. We had a good joke about it. It took me like 7 takes to get that right, anyways. So Humphreys, I was just like, you got to think of something new, man, because I got to take it. I got to do this again. I messed up. I stumbled over my words. You're going to have to come up with something different because we're not going to use that one.
So how long did it take you to do the one like 90-second spot?
Oh, that was probably a half hour. Luckily, there was a long pregame warm-up that day, or morning skate, I should say. Probably took me 5 or 6 takes, but I kept having to think of what I was going to say. And luckily, it was well-received. I mean, I've heard from Ron Geary about it already, and I've heard from a lot of fans that watched it. Ron said, I didn't even know you were going to be doing that. And all of a sudden I turn on the news and there you are. I was like, good job. I was like, oh, thank you. I guess that television reporting 101 I took in college paid off because I haven't done anything like that since.
We set to record them and I thought they turned out really good too. So
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Having the editing skills is what I've learned in all of this. If you're going to do TV, make sure you have control your editing rights.
Did you have to edit them or did you just send them the raw video?
I sent them the raw video.
But he kept sending... You did your own takes over and over.
Yeah. So instead of editing out the bad takes, I sent them the one that worked.
Yeah. I got handed a script and then with no cue cards and said, memorize this. You ready to go? Okay. That's good enough.
Yeah. See, they hung you out to dry then.
Yeah.
But they did. Yeah. In college, I had to edit all the time on Final Cut Pro. And it was not easy, but I think by the time I graduated, I maybe had a small grasp on how to do it. Now it's been however many years since I've graduated, 6 years or whatever, 7 years, that I have no clue how to edit anymore. Hmm. So luckily they did it for me. I just had to send the video back.
So other than the Alaska trip, you've had a chance now to go on a few road trips with the team on the bus. Any interesting bus stories, things the guys are doing for killing time, pranks, etc., stuff like that you can actually share on the air?
You know, it's funny. There are always a few guys who are sleeping in their bunks when we're on the sleeper bus, regardless of what time of day it is or where we're at or where we're going. There's always guys that stay up, you know, super late and just sit around and play card games and watch NHL Network because there's satellite on the bus. And then there's, you know, usually the coaches, myself, Sean Berbrick, and like 2 or 3 of the players will sit up front and we'll watch, again, NHL Network as much as we can. But sometimes that satellite goes in and out. So we're sitting there, and Al's so funny because he's got this dry sense of humor, Coach Sims. We're sitting there watching the highlights, and it just keeps cutting in and out. And so there's a really sweet goal that I think Crosby or somebody scored, some big name. And they go to show the replay because it happened so fast you couldn't really see what happened. So they go to show the slow-mo replay, and the announcer on the TV is saying, check this out again. Here's the replay. And all of a sudden our screen just flickers and then goes black, and Coach Sim just goes, yeah, that was real nice. Great replay. Just little comments like that always crack me up, but I'm sure there are some stories I can't think of on the spot, but we have a good time on the bus for the most part.
Have you gotten pranked yet?
Ooh, no, but when I take out my contacts to put on my glasses, you know, when it's a late bus trip overnight, I take my eyes out, I call it, and throw my glasses on. I have horrible eyes. Like, contacts are shipped in from Japan. That's how bad they are. Johan, first road trip, I did that, and Johan goes, Petey, you have telescopes. That is terrible. Call up Hubble. And so ever since then, they call me telescopes when I put my glasses on.
Nice. That's good. Well, what do you like better, telescopes or Petey?
I'll go with Petey because now Petey's spread to the fans and to even the front office, and I really can do nothing about it anymore. Yeah. It's pretty much what it is.
So any thoughts on the other arenas and cities you visited? I know.
What about Wheeling? You were scared about Wheeling. Yeah, I tried to talk you through it. I told you.
I loved Wheeling.
Ogle Bay, man. Yeah, it's awesome.
Way better than I was told. They actually revamped. First of all, they revamped the press box and the seating.
I was supposed to be their opening game, and I wasn't able to get
out
there.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, they're very accommodating, too.
DJ's awesome.
there hasn't really been an arena I hated, because I'm not very high maintenance, and I, you know, coming from the junior ranks and even the high school ranks before that, I've been in some barns that are
oh yeah,
I mean I'll always poop remember holes. Oh my god, and so then like the one in, there was one in Red Lake Falls, Minnesota, a tiny town of like 800 people that was literally like you're walking into a freezer, but it's the ceiling was about 12 feet. Like, if you lifted the puck at all to clear the zone, you're hitting the rafters, and then debris falls from the ice, and it was the coldest rink I've ever been in. This year, I would say if I had to pick one that maybe I wasn't a huge fan of, maybe Kalamazoo's, the Wings Event Center.
With the giant Jumbotron?
Yeah, but
the,
even
the
then...
The Jumbotron's more expensive than the whole building.
Even then, I didn't mind. That was a great view. So, you know, it was a great view to call a game. And I think the ones that really irk me is if someone sets you up in the corner, like if you're way in the corner...
Reading. Have you been to Reading yet?
No.
Oh, you'll hate it. Okay. You are on the goal line, home scoring side.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, with the fans right there.
Luckily, we don't play them this year.
Ah, okay. The only other one I had a problem with was Gwinnett, because you were so high. And I did three games in 4 days, and my neck was on a 45-degree angle just to see
staring
under
down.
The scoreboard. Yeah,
really?
That one was a little
okay,
tough.
Okay, well, that one we actually do go to, I think, in January, so...
Something to look forward
it's
to.
It's not bad. It really isn't bad. It's just the multiple days
yeah.
of looking down. Like
my
that.
Least favorite was probably Sullivan, to be honest with you, in Anchorage. And that, I think, is because I was so fed up with certain accommodations and things like that.
Hospitality
fair,
was lacking.
Well, their broadcaster is great. Kurt Heider is awesome. He does a great job, and he's very accommodating. I think it was just certain, you know, it's an older barn, and you know, it's, I just felt kind of crammed a little bit with the setup.
So we're starting to run out of time, so we will take a look at our upcoming games. The Icemen play 8 of their next 12 at home, and they better make some hay while that sun is shining, because after that they play 9 of 11 on the road. Out of the 8 that are coming up, we have 2 big promotions that we need to talk about. Saturday the 19th against Indy at 7:15 is the annual Teddy Bear Toss for 911 Gives Hope. And if you haven't seen it, check out the latest Calgary Hitmen Teddy Bear Toss with 28,000 bears and other stuffed critters collected. You said, John, on Iceman Live that this will be your first Teddy Bear Toss in pro.
Yeah.
What have you seen? Have you seen them in other levels working your way to this point?
Yeah, the Austin Bruins did it at Riverside Arena where we played, but the capacity is only about 2,000 maximum, and usually you have about 1,000. You know, maybe 1,200 in the game. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen anything to the extent of, you know, Calgary or what they put on or anything at the pro level. Calgary set a record.
Yeah.
Like 28,815 was the number they officially got to. It took them 40 minutes to clear the ice.
That's what I was going to bring up. One word of advice, have something prepared to talk about, because you can only discuss and describe shoveling stuffed animals for so long.
So long.
It gets boring.
Either that or come up with a long commercial list by then that we can run through a couple times. No, maybe I'll have an interview planned.
I ended up hitting 4 of them. I hit ours and then ended up hitting Toledo's and Gwinnett's and someone else's. And I forgot it, but I was going to bring a Nightmare Before Christmas book, and I was actually going to read it on air while they were shoveling
awesome.
Everything up. So
yeah.
Have something prepared.
Surprisingly, though, it doesn't, I mean, I'm sure when you're broadcasting it seems like
feels
an eternity,
like,
but it actually goes pretty quick. I mean, last year
it
was like 4 or 5 minutes. It wasn't that bad.
It's that bad.
Well, I've already challenged our fans on Iceman Live. You heard it. I've already challenged them to try to get as close to 28,815 as we can, but I also said with a 10,000 seat building, we would need a sellout and everyone to bring 3 bears to get to that point.
I don't think we're going to get to 28,000. At this point, I just want continued growth.
Yeah.
I want to see
yeah.
more than we got last year. And so far, this is our 6th or 7th one. Every year, it's been bigger than the previous year.
Well, and I apologize for forgetting her name, but we had a lady out at Iceman Live last night who came over to the table with a picture, and it was the stuffed animal. It was the bears that she and her family bought already for that game.
Anya Rhodes.
Anya, thank you very much. They had like 275 bears in the picture or whatever. So just that family.
Well,
so
and
awesome.
We've talked about it before. The thing to do for this is go to like Goodwill or thrift stores and stuff. You can buy good condition stuffed animals for like a quarter or 50 cents a piece. You can get a whole garbage bag full of them for $10.
Yeah.
It makes a great impact on the Teddy Bear Toss.
But to back up what Derek said about the delay, the glass panel delay that we had at the Ford Center.
Oh, good grief.
What was that, Fort Wayne or was it the Quad City?
It was Quad City.
Quad City game. 2 minutes into the game, and it took five minutes or so to fix. Felt like an
nothing,
hour.
Yeah. And nothing has happened yet. So
And we haven't had anything to talk about in the game. So I just try to go back through the history. All right, in the ECHL, these two teams have played one time.
Very helpful.
On to the next point.
Well, and the problem is that's the second or third time this season that that same glass pane has come out during a game. And I don't know if it's not the right size or what, but it doesn't come out all the way. It just the one side pops out.
Well, because of popular demand, we actually replaced all the glass behind the nets this off season.
Uh-huh.
So there's new glass in because the old glass is just so beat up that people couldn't even see. So if you had a glass seat or if you were sitting behind the net, it was frustrating. And so we fixed that. But I think there's some kinks to be worked out.
Yeah, apparently. The other promotion I want to mention is New Year's Eve against the Quad City Mallards again at 7:15. New Year's Eve game with post-game indoor fireworks. Have you ever seen fireworks at a hockey game before?
No, I have not. Mm. So I've been told about it. I'm not a pyro. I'm not afraid of fire or fireworks either. So I'm just more or less curious. I'm all about New Year's Eve, though. I love New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites,
too. It's one of my favorite holidays just because it's a big celebration and it's a good excuse to party with friends and family. And so why not party with a stadium full of hockey fans? You know, definitely. That's how I look at it. So it'll be a great night.
We got to wrap this one up here because certain somebody's got to get on the bus.
Yeah.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, webmaster from IcemanManiacs.com, and you are listening to Iceman Insights every week on 96.9 FM, WYIR, and he is John Peterson, the voice of the Evansville Iceman. Thank you so much for coming down again.
Thanks for having me again.
We will be back in January. We're off the next few weeks. Derek's got a big boy job and holidays and all that good stuff.
The closest I can get to an employer getting me to Alaska is Marshalltown, Iowa.
Ooh.
So probably just as cold without any of...
Mountains.
or class.
Yeah. So we'll be back in January as long as Derek makes it back from Iowa.
John, any final thoughts?
No, I just wanted to wish you guys and our fans and whoever's listening out there on the Maniacs page the website, happy holidays or Merry Christmas. Whatever you celebrate, happy holidays. And we appreciate all the support. It's fun coming on and talking hockey.
I need to throw one thing out here. Yeah. I'm not sure what the Iceman holiday schedule is. Don't know if you're going back home or not. But Monday the 21st will be, and we're not really supposed to talk about it, but Brian Vall knows about it, a little secret 3-on-3 hockey game we do in the building that he is too afraid to come down and play anymore.
During the day?
Nope, it'll be in the evening, 9 o'clock.
Oh, possible. Yeah, because I have Iceman Live. But
it's 9.
It actually probably doesn't even get started until
9:30, 10. I have a flight home the
10.
Next day, but I might be able to
I'm saying is Brian Vall, if he can grow a pair,
Don't count on it.
Maybe he can bring you out. So just throwing that out there.
We'll try to sell him on it.
Michael Shockley, final thoughts.
Well, where do you go after Brian
Vall's growing a pair?
Yeah. I don't think there's anywhere to go but down.
Yep. Andy Fuller walking this way. Let's wrap this one up. Listen in the amusement park on 96.9 FM Wired Radio.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.